Matthew chapter 9, we last week looked at Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus going to his home to raise his daughter from the dead. This week we want to look at the interruption that took place as Jesus was on his way. Verse 20 of chapter 9 says, "Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, for she said," and the tenses are, she kept saying within herself, she's talking to herself and continually, "If I may touch his garment, I shall be whole." But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. You can just listen as I read Mark's rendition. "A certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of physicians, and had spent all that she had, and nothing was bettered, but everything grew worse." Now, Dr. Luke's a little easier on that verse as a physician himself. "And when she heard of Jesus," so she heard somehow, we'll talk about that, "she came in the press, in the throng of people behind, and touched his garment. For she kept saying, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood," I don't know if that's an indication of the how much she was bleeding, it calls it the fountain. "The fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt it in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, in the crowd, and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And the disciples said unto him, You see the multitude thronging you, and you want to know who touched your clothes." You see the disciples scratching their heads. "And he looked around about to see her." He already knows her. He looks for her that had done this thing. "And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace," literally go into peace, "and be whole of thy plague." Mark gives us a little more. Luke also. Interesting scene, this woman. We're familiar with the record, and there's so many different angles to it. We're not sure who she is. Church tradition tells us her name was Veronica. And that after her healing, she became a woman of means. She was before, evidently, her illness. She lived in Caesarea Philippi, is what tradition says. And she had bronzed this scene. She had an artisan put together a bronze statue of Jesus and her laying at his feet. And Eusebius said in the second century when he was at Caesarea Philippi, it was still there. Now that's all tradition. We don't know what's true and what's not true. We do know the things that we have in the scripture are true. And again, always remembering that the Gospels say many things could be written. These things that are written for a purpose. But the libraries of the world themselves couldn't hold the volumes of everything that Jesus did had been written. This woman is brought before us. She's diseased, we know that, with an issue of blood for 12 years. Try to imagine that. 12 years. Where's her hemoglobin? Where's her iron stores? 12 years. Ladies, be sympathetic here. 12 years. Her menstrual cycle evidently at some point began and never stopped. 12 years. We're so integrated. She is no doubt filled with despair. This is a story of despair. It's a story of physical weakness and fatigue. It's a story of mental anguish. And any of you who have suffered physically know it gets to the point. If you can't sleep, if you're in pain, if you're fatigued, you get worn out mentally too. We're integrated. We're an integrated system. We can't suffer emotionally and have that not affect us physically. Sometimes we get ulcers. We get ill. We had a woman in the church went into counseling, and as she was in counseling, her grand mal seizures stopped, because they found out something she had wrestled with for years that was there. When I look out, I'm always amazed at how complicated y'all are. And I don't want to know the diagnosis anymore. I just know the prescription. I don't want to know all the complicated details. I know that Jesus is the answer. And that's what's brought before us here. She is physically wasted, I'm sure. 12-year hemorrhage. More than that, she's isolated. Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 to 7. Leviticus 15, 25 to 27. This will be on the tape. Leviticus 19, 19 to 23 says that she was ceremonially unclean. She was not allowed in the temple. She was not allowed in the synagogue. If she sat on a chair, it was defiled. If she sat on a bed, it was defiled. If she touched clothes, they were defiled. Not just things, not just everything she touched, but everybody she touched was defiled. Her husband had the right to divorce her. She couldn't have interaction with her children or her parents or her neighbors or relatives. She couldn't touch people in the marketplace. She was told that it was a judgment from God, and because of the type of bleeding, they said it was because of immorality. She had that stigma placed upon her. This was a woman who was stripped of all of her dreams. She no longer dreamt of holding grandchildren on her lap. No longer dreamt, we don't know if she had been married, no longer dreamt of a long life growing old with a husband. No longer dreamt of interacting in a business or in the marketplace or having friends over or a birthday. All of that had been stripped away from her. She is fatigued physically, emotionally. She has wrestled spiritually, not allowed in the temple or in the synagogue, being told that this plague, which means a whip, that it was the judgment of God for some sin in her life. On top of all of that, it says she had gone from doctor to doctor and had spent everything that she had and was now impoverished. No income, no finances, no money. She was no doubt begging. And you know what it's like to go from doctor to doctor to doctor, each time less hope, less hope, less hope, no answers. The Talmud had prescribed certain things for a woman with her illness. The Talmud, the religious writings of the day, said that you were to take gum from Alexandria, which was an astringent, the weight of a silver coin. You would mix that with crocus and alum, another astringent, the same weight. Mix it with wine and drink the wine. And that was supposed to stop the bleeding. If that didn't work, you're to take 3 pints of Persian onions, boil them in wine, then drink the wine, and someone would pronounce over you, "Arise from thy flux." If that didn't work, you were to take a cup of wine in your right hand and stand somewhere where 2 roads crossed, and while you were drinking the wine in your right hand, have someone sneak up on you and scare you and say, "Arise from your flux." If that didn't work, you were to take a handful of cumin, handful of crocus, handful of fenugreek, boil that in wine. Evidently, by this time, you no longer cared what in the world was going on. I can't imagine this all happened in sequence in one day. And when you drank that, somebody was to say, "Arise from thy flux." Those were the religious opinions. The doctors, the professionals, said one of the prescriptions was she would take strips of her clothing that was defiled by her disease and tie them around a tree. And when the wind blew and they fluttered in the breeze, her illness would go into the tree and the tree's strength would come into her. Imagine waiting for that to happen. Another prescription in the day from the doctors was to take an ostrich egg and crush it and burn it, and then take the ashes from the ostrich egg and put them in a menstrual cloth, and you had to use linen in the summer and cotton in the winter for this to work. Imagine waiting for that to work. The third prescription I was able to find said that they would take barleycorn from the dung of a white she-ass, a female white donkey, when it went to the bathroom and there were whole barleycorns in the dung. You were to pick those out. You must have got your nurse to do that. I know the doctor didn't do that. And then you crushed those up and made a poultice out of them. She had spent all that she had on doctors. She was probably, if we could describe this woman, two words that would sum up her situation is one is alone. She was isolated. This woman was alone. And maybe this morning, and because I know every week there are people that sit here in this crowd and feel completely alone. Loneliness is a plague in our society, in our culture. The planet we live on is crowded. Everybody's screaming about, child, planning and family planning. Where are we going to be in 10 years at the population? And yet, loneliness is a plague. You can sit right in the middle of this and feel completely isolated. And no doubt she did. As she pushed her way through that crowd, a lot of it a religious crowd, she was in the middle of it completely isolated. She was alone. And probably the second word that really, to me, as I look at her, described this woman as tired. She was worn out. She was just tired. She was tired of bleeding, tired of being sick, tired of the accusations, tired of the looks from people, the smirks, tired of being segregated off from life, tired of doctors. Tired of the stigma that hung over her head. I think she was tired. And yet somehow she hears about this man, Jesus. Now here's the thing. We know because of her condition, she's not hearing from the priests or the rabbis, the religious leaders. She's not hearing from people in the marketplace, from business. She's hearing from the other beggars. She's hearing from a leper that's been healed. She's hearing from somebody that's received their sight. She's hearing from those in her culture that have been cut off and ostracized from society, that have lived in loneliness and fatigue, whose lives have been changed. And because of that, her faith is genuine. It's not informed. It's in error. What she thinks is, I can sneak through the crowd, and if I can just touch the back of his robe, I'll be healed, and then I can slip away, and nobody will know I defiled anybody in the crowd, or I defiled the master. I'm going to slip in and slip out, because this force, this power that works through him, is an impersonal force, and all I got to do is come in contact with him, and I'll be healed. She was so wrong. Jesus was completely personal with everyone he healed, and I guarantee you, if she ever came back to see Jesus again, she didn't sneak up. She came face to face. That's what she didn't know. But though her faith was uninformed and it was imperfect, it was real. Because the people she heard from, it wasn't enough for it to be theory. It wasn't enough for it to be theology. She talked to people, no doubt, whose lives were transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And there was something in that that was real. And she kept talking to herself about it. Now she had nobody else to talk to. Did you ever get to that point? All you do is talking to yourself. Talking, I know if I can. If I get there. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. I get behind him. Well, you can't get behind him. Yes, I can. I don't care what you're saying. Wait a minute. Who are you? The Tom Hanks movie was on, he's on the island and he's talking to a soccer ball or something, Wilson, that's where she's at. She's on that island. She's isolated. She's cut off from everything. And it says she keeps saying to herself. So this is not the kind of person anybody wants to hang around anymore anyhow. Walking down the street. You have somebody like that in your family, I know. She kept saying to herself. Now, it's enough when other people say stuff about us. It can hurt us. It can lift us up.